Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Don't you wish that terrible Mrs. Bates would just drop off the face of the earth and take Thomas and Mrs. O'Brien with her? I mean, how many obstacles could there possibly be between two people in love as there are between Mr. Bates and Anna? And what do you think is going to happen with Matthew and Lady Mary now that the war is on? And I know it's hard to be sympathetic to aristocratic rich girls, but Lady Mary isn't so bad. Lady Edith is getting better. And don't you love Lady Sybil? I love how she's becoming a nurse. And those lips. And how about the old Dowager Countess? She's the best. She's so much cooler than Lady Cora, who's so out of it she's taking advice from the conniving Mrs. O'Brien. It's so frustrating. So if you understand exactly what I was just talking about, which I admit I don't. Somebody put those words in my mouth. Call us up right now and tell us why you are obsessed with the show that launched 1,000 blogs, mashups, and TV clubs. Downton Abbey, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. June Thomas, culture critic for Slate and host of the new Slate podcast, The Afterword, is here to talk about the PBS show everyone's talking about. She's part of Slate's Downton Abbey TV Club, which picks apart each episode each week this season. Welcome to WNYC, June.
Thank you, Brian.
And first, for the uninitiated, do we need to say that it's not Downtown Abbey?
Many people do seem to have that impression, which is unfathomable to me. But yes, it's Downton Abbey.
And why do you like it?
Well, there are many reasons, both high-minded and not so high-minded. I'll start with the high-minded. Right now, there are so many parallels between what was going on in the show and what's happening now. So we have a lot of focus on class. And what is the Occupy movement about except class? And like the Occupy movement, it's a rather exaggerated sense of class, 1%, 99%, upstairs, downstairs. There's also kind of historical references. We keep hearing about things like the Marconi scandal. There are also lots of romance and soap. It's basically a soap opera, but it's on PBS and they speak in English accents, which means that it's okay to watch it. It's like a guilt-free and calorie-free cheesecake.
Anything that's British, even if it's a soap opera, gets let off the hook as highbrow.
Is that's that right.
And if it's on PBS in the Masterpiece
Absolutely.
Hour.
Absolutely. It's a masterpiece.
So you mentioned Upstairs, Downstairs,
yes,
which was a 1970s BBC drama that certainly had a lot of class issues in it. So here is, I think, a related clip from the opening scene of Downton Abbey, Episode 2, Season 2, which aired last Sunday. And don't worry, listeners, there are no spoilers in this.
If the world were logical, I would rather agree with you.
Which comes as no surprise.
You would not, I imagine.
You imagine right. What these men will need is rest and relaxation. Will that be achieved by mixing ranks and putting everyone on edge?
Granny, different ranks can relax together. It has been known.
Oh, don't look at me. I'm very good at mixing. We always danced the first waltz at the servants' ball, didn't we, Carson?
It was an honour, my lady.
It's a lot to ask when people aren't at their best.
So that was Mrs. Crowley, who's a doctor, and then the...
Oh, she has some nursing experience, but she's basically a rather socially-minded middle-aged lady.
The Dowager Countess, we heard, then Lady Sybil, her granddaughter, and Carson, the head house manager, and this illustrates all that stuff about the old aristocratic era transforming into the modern world as they deal with World War I. And I guess at the highest brow level, this transformation is what the show is all about.
Right. And again, another parallel. We have wars now and the whole kind of concepts of men going off to war, men coming back to war, often damaged either physically or psychologically, which is playing out in season two, is obviously our issues that we're dealing with ourselves.
Kara in Queens, you're watching Downton Abbey?
Yes, I don't have cable, so I watch it on the internet, and I just started watching it, and on the internet, I get the opportunity to watch more than one episode at a time. So when I'm watching it, I notice that my face contorts in horror and disgust at the manor house and at the servants' quarters, but I still can't stop watching it.
Thank you very much. Laura in Pompton Plains, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. So nice to be speaking with you.
Same here.
A big fan. Yeah, my daughter and I, she's a senior in high school. She's 17. She's a big history fan. We're addicted to it. She loves to look at the clothes, and I love any kind of historical drama. It is also, she's very excited to see how the young women are changing, like Lady Sybil and Lady Edith, and how they are not afraid to start breaking out of their closed and little world there. That's very interesting to me to see how she reacts to it.
So you have a mother-daughter bonding experience.
Oh, yes.
Watching this show. What's another show that you watch with your 17-year-old daughter?
We like to watch a lot of classic movies on Turner.
Classic movies. Cool.
She's become a classic movie fan.
That's great. Laura, thank you very much for calling
in.
So let's, June Thomas, Slate culture critic, talk for a second about that clip that we heard, Dowager Countess, the Dowager Countess, played by Maggie Smith.
Yes.
Who, as far as I can tell, has been in every British period drama for the past 40 years.
And quite right. So she should be. She's magnificent.
But when people play the game, who would I be if I lived in Downton Abbey? I wonder how many would be the Dowager Countess.
I suspect that most people would want to be. She's rather meddling, and she's not always a kind character. But she, first of all, is incredibly smart and witty, and her role in life has been rather restricted, but she has these great zingers, and being Maggie Smith, she plays it as if she has sandpaper in her knickers.
Do you think people are playing that game? If I lived at Downton Abbey, I would be like Lady Sybil and become a nurse, or I would be just like Matthew and be brave, or I'd be like that driver who's a conscientious objector to the war. Are we trying to picture ourselves in that world as we watch, do you think?
The show definitely has flaws, but it is very good at putting us in that world. And I know that I can't help. I can't resist it. And I can't help figuring out, trying to think who I would be, where I would be. Would I be upstairs or downstairs?
Corey in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hi, Corey.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Thanks for calling.
You know what? My girlfriend was homesick yesterday. So on Netflix, she starts watching this show called Downton Abbey. When I get home, she makes me watch the first one. And it was it's a pretty amazing show. I mean, partly because, I mean, I know a little bit of the history. I knew what was on that paper that they got in the first issue because it was April 1912. And I like just to see, because I know that in World War One, you know, the aristocracy is going to fall. But it's just amazing to see a house where we get to sort of live the upstairs and downstairs life. And, you know, like your guest, I wonder which one I would be. And it's also cool to see Maggie Smith because she delivers every line with just such wonder. And it's cool. You know, if you watch any BBC shows, I'm seeing people from, like, I know there was one woman in the first episode. I've seen her on Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in American television, you know, if you're on sci-fi shows, you don't end up on any sort of serious programming. So it's cool to see that these British actors can kind of move back and forth between serious and sci-fi and so forth. It's just an amazing show. And now I know that's a real house, so I'm going to have to go visit one day.
Corey, thank you very much. So, June Thomas, you do this Slate TV Club for Downton Abbey with
Downton.
I said it.
You said it.
I said it. Downton Abbey, and I know better. Downton Abbey with two guys.
Yeah.
And Corey called in, and I think he was kind of surprised that he liked the show that his girlfriend was watching.
Well, Slate published an article by a writer called Brandon Topley, who talked about how Downton Abbey helped fix his broken heart. He'd been looking around, and there was nothing that would help a guy to, you know, mend their broken heart. And because of the way that men behave in the show, with honor, trying to do the right thing, he found it great balm. And so I think a lot of men get a lot out of it. And it has some rather attractive women in it, so that helps too, I think.
Is there much of a World War One war story narrative?
There is. They're trying rather hard to deal with World War One, and they're doing well with some aspects of it, but the scenes in the trenches, they look like they were filmed, you know, in a park somewhere. They're not, it's not highly realistic.
That makes it very unusual, though, among soap operas. A soap opera with battle scenes.
Yes, exactly. It is a high-tone soap, though. It is soapy in many ways. It's got all these twists. It's got some really devilish baddies. O'Brien, the lady's maid, actually. She's Lady Cora's maid. She is so evil. And Thomas, the former footman, he's as if he's possessed by the devil himself, and yet he's likable.
maybe Lady Cora is the most relatable because she's actually American. She was a rich American woman who went to Britain to marry. Explain that whole thing. It's an interesting history.
Right, exactly. So it's another one of the many historical references. Lord Grantham, Robert, he was the heir, but he had no money, like a lot of the great British aristocratic family. He had no money, so he went off to America to seek a marriage. He didn't really go seeking romance. He went and so Lady Cora was one of the buccaneers who came over and essentially solved the money problems of the family. And so the first season of the show was about trying to keep that money in the family in a way, because she has no sons. They have only three daughters and they can't inherit the wonderful estate. And so there's a great deal of kind of discussion of stewardship, which is also a parallel to colonialism, of course, but they don't play that too hard. We have to say that the show is created and written by Julian Fellowes, who also wrote Gosford Park, and he sits as a conservative in the House of Lords. So it's quite a reactionary show.
Alex in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Brian. So, love your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Listen every day, so I'm addicted to you as well as to Downton Abbey. My entire family has to have their Downton fix, and we were like addicts without our fix between seasons, and now we're very happy.
I mean, I can relate to that, but the terrible thing about this and most British shows is that they're very short, so I think we're having 7 episodes of Downton. So.
Right.
Alex, thank you very much, and thanks for listening to this show. Do they like different things about the show in the UK? You're from there.
I am from there, and I was just there. It's not airing right now, but they do seem obsessed with the show still. I mean, I think, of course, it was successful. It won a Golden Globe. It did well last year and with the Emmys, and so I think that's partly just that it's a success. But no, I think that they relate in much the same way. Katie Royfe, writing in Slate today, pointed out that in a way viewers are rooting for the 1%, which is surprising perhaps in our current moment. But we do want Lady Mary to get that castle, to get that piece of land. And we don't want it to be used for something more socially appropriate.
On our webpage, somebody writes, I have to admit, not proud. My only interest in SOPA and PIPA was my concern that I wouldn't be able to illegally download season 3 of Downton Abbey in fall 2012. So in our last few seconds, if this segment has convinced people to start watching, it's on Sunday nights at 9 on Channel 13, and PBS is making episodes available on their website afterwards. Yeah. Some of the first season is there too, and people can watch on Instant Watt on Netflix. But though we're not advocating it, I guess it's available to be stolen online.
I guess so. I was very tempted too, but I managed to restrain myself. And I do worry about Julian Fellowes because he's just writing season 3 now. And now I'm just as we are pulling for Matthew to come through World War I, where I'm also pulling for Julian Fellowes to stay alive long enough to write lots and lots of seasons of Downton Abbey.
June Thomas, culture critic for Slate and host of the new Slate podcast, The Afterword, also is in the Slate TV Club for Downton Abbey. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And it's a long way from the English countryside, but here at home, singing legend Etta James has died. We just heard she was 73 and died with her family at her side in California. Maybe you danced to At Last at your wedding. Maybe you know the whole catalog. In any case, we end the show today with just a bit of Sunday Kind of Love with Etta James.
Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love.